You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome. This is Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, welcoming you to Catholic schools today on this blustery Easter Monday. Happy Easter season to everybody. You know, how wise of the Church to realize that the Feast of Easter holds just way too much good news to be contained in one day. So we celebrate the glory of the resurrection over a period of 50 days, 50-day Easter season till the great Feast of Pentecost, a week of weeks, 49 days plus one, 50 days. So this is just the first. And I hope you are filled with the joy of Easter, realizing that no matter what the circumstances, the resurrection is a fact, not only in the world, but in our own individual lives. Christ has risen. He has saved us. We are a resurrection people. So let's live like it. Today is Catholic Schools Monday. I'm flying solo today. Father Greg Sakowitz, our regular anchor, is away. So I'm going solo. You know, when I was a kid and was trying to sing, I couldn't sing too well. So my music teacher said, Graziano, I'd like you to do a solo. I'd like you to sing solo that no one can hear you. As a frail attempt. Brian, you're not laughing in there. You're not listening to my jokes. All right, you know, you can't be a good comic without an audience. Oh, good, I hear a laugh from somewhere, but I think it has nothing to do with my joke. We are going to be talking about the Golden Apple Foundation Awards. The Golden Apple Foundation recently announced the names of 30 Chicago area finalists for the 2009 Golden Apple Awards for Excellence in Teaching in grades pre-K through 3. Two of those teachers are from Catholic schools. And Sarah Covington of St. Leonard's School in Berwyn and Shannon Veer of Old St. Mary's Catholic School are the two Catholic teachers who are going to be the recipients of that award. The finalists will be honored on Saturday, April 18, at the Celebration of Excellence in Teaching from 10 a.m. to 1:30 at the Hyatt Regency McCormick in Chicago. And we are pleased to have Sarah Covington, teacher of third grade at St. Leonard's School, here in the studio with us. Welcome, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, this is quite an honor.
It is.
You know, I've always heard about the Golden Apple Awards. I hate to put you on the spot, but why don't you tell us about how someone qualifies, gets chosen for this coveted award?
Well, from what I understand, it has to be someone who you work with in the building, and they have to have observed and cued into something that makes them want to nominate you. And after you're nominated, you receive a letter in the mail saying you've been nominated, and you need to answer a couple of essay questions so the Golden Apple Foundation can get to know you better. And
let me just stop you a second.
Sure.
So the remarkable thing I hear in that is it's a peer recommendation.
Yes, it is.
You know, that's not an easy thing to get, because sometimes those peers might be wishing that they were nominated.
This is true.
But instead, they go out of their way to observe what you're doing, recognize that it's really good, and then put your name in for recognition.
Which says so much about our community at St. Leonard, that we just really do look out for each other and respect each other's strengths and knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of questions did you have to answer?
Oh, you talk a lot about the school and in my case, church community, but, you know, the neighborhood community. You tell about your classroom. My favorite question was, describe what goes on in your classroom on a daily basis. So I kind of took a different route and just kind of took them morning through afternoon in just clips of words, things that you would hear being said by me and by students
like?
In my classroom. Oh, tears and laughter and tattling and questions and questions and lots more questions. And it went on. And I shaped it in the shape of an apple. So, because in school we were talking about shape poetry. So just
Excellent.
Kind of put that into my own work.
So what age is the typical third grader?
They come in as 8-year-olds and they go out as 8 or 9-year-olds.
What's a typical 8-9-year-old like?
What are they like, or what do they like?
What are they like?
Oh, I love this age. I love them because they are still very eager to please. They want to make their teacher happy. They want to make their parents happy, and they want to make each other happy. So they work very hard, and they are very capable. They love to read. They are motivated by challenges. So you can really push them to their maximum potential.
Yeah.
Lots of questions. And good questions, too. Not just simple, but very kind of thoughtful and intellectual questions. So we get into some really good discussions.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Wow. What kind of parental support do you see in your school? Because I'm assuming that's a big part of a child's success in school.
Yeah, it absolutely is. When we start out in the beginning of the school year, even before the school year begins, I send home a parent letter and introduce myself. I want to get to know the parents as much as I know the students, because I can work with the parents and I can get to know who I'm teaching each day, because the students are so very shaped by their parents and their home life. So the parental involvement is huge in our school. The parents volunteer. They are always in the buildings volunteering at lunchtime and working with the kids all the time. So we count on them a lot.
Yeah. Well, I could tell that you must be a great teacher as soon as you said, I love them. I love them.
I do.
Did you always want to be a teacher?
You know, I think I came and went on that. I found in my mom and dad's house an old box of my things. My mom saved so many things. And I found a little sheet that said what I want to be when I grow up. And I was in third grade and it said, I want to be a teacher. And
really?
It was me. And I looked just like my third grade teacher in the way I looked in my drawing. But I think when I got older, I wanted to do more of like interior design and architecture and artistic type. But at that time, too, I was a swim instructor in the summertime. I grew up swimming, and I taught swimming lessons. And there was a student who just would never get in the pool, and I connected with him, and, you know, he learned how to swim, and he was able to swim. And that somehow, some way, made me want to be a teacher. I could do this with more students every day. And then that's, you know, right probably end of my junior year in high school, I knew I wanted to be a teacher.
That's fantastic. You know, recently I was part of a conversation where we were talking about how people's gifts can embody the person of Christ, you know, that when you use your gifts, you're Christ to other people. Mm-hmm. And someone who was very needy and incapacitated because of physical problems said, how do I get to be Christ? Because I can't do anything for people. And we talked about how even in our need, we become Christ, that Christ was ministered to by others, you know, that when he was carrying the cross, Simon carried it for him. When he was bleeding, you know, people wiped his face. And so even in our need, well, that story about that boy, his need
taught me.
Taught you. It called the teacher out of you. Mm-hmm. So the Christ in him, through that need, reached out to you and gave you your vocation. What a powerful thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you ever seen this boy? You should track him down and
tell him.
He helped make you a teacher.
I really should. I don't know if I've – I know he came back for continuing swimming lessons the following summer, but not since then.
All right. Yeah. Well, we need to go to a short break. We're going to come back after a little commercial break to continue our conversation with Sarah Covington, Golden Apple Award winner. Don't go away. Be right back.
I keep a close watch on the heart of my.
No, they.
that's not Johnny Cash you're listening to. It's a Catholic priest doing his take on the iconic country singer at last year's Padres Plus on Parade. Now the men in black and women are coming back. On Sunday afternoon, April 19th, priests and religious from all over Chicagoland will be showing off their talents at St. Scholastica Academy on the far north side. From country music to show tunes and opera, it will be a memorable day. Ticket sales benefit both the Retirement Fund for Religious and the Priest Retirement Fund. Call now to reserve your tickets, 312-534-8325. That's 312-534-8325. Padres Plus on Parade, 312-534-8325. Witness great talent for a great cause.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese. Honored to be your host today. Father Greg Sakowitz, our regular anchor, is enjoying Easter Monday in a warmer clime, I believe. He'll be back this Friday. And I'm delighted to be sharing this time with a delightful young woman, Sarah Covington, third grade teacher from St. Leonard School, who is going to be a recipient of the Golden Apple Foundation Award, a very, very prestigious award that's given to the most excellent teachers within the city. Sarah, how did you feel when you learned that you were going to receive this award?
Actually, when I first saw the envelope on my desk, I thought it was junk mail. But then I saw the little corner piece. I read it, unbelievably just honored and just I felt really appreciated. And by whoever it was who nominated me, I just felt very special and excited.
So you don't know who the nominee nominator was?
Well, the foundation does not tell you. The person has the choice of telling you.
I see. Yeah. And you've been teaching at St. Leonard for how long?
This is my seventh year, and I began teaching there straight out of college. And I stuck there the whole time.
Talk a little bit about teaching. You know, you've already given us some insights based on the responses you gave to your nomination. If another young woman came up to you and said, you know, I'm thinking about being a teacher, what would you say to her?
Well, it's going to take a lot of time to get used to it, at least in my case. I learned so much in college and so much in grad school and apply it every day and in my planning and in my lessons and assessment. But there's so much outside of that. When you go to school, you have to really be emotionally ready to teach and be strong. You have to make sure you are connecting with the students, not only on an academic level, but you want to know what they're interested in, because you always want to tie in what they currently know with what you're teaching. You have to really get your head around the culture mm-hmm. and the age and what the students are really into. It's a pretty strenuous job. You go home tired, very tired at the end of the day, but always ready to go back on Monday.
What makes you go back? Why have you stayed at it for 7 years?
Well, it's a challenge for me. I like the challenge of it, and I learn so much too. I think so much of what I teach, I go overboard preparing myself in preparation for my students' questions and curiosities.
Well, speaking of learning, have you done any additional education during your time of teaching?
I did just finish my graduate program at Dominican University in River Forest. I graduated this past January, and I couldn't have gone to Dominican without the help of the Archdiocesan Leadership Scholarship that helped me pay my way through grad school.
Yeah, that's a wonderful program that the Archdiocese offers to employees.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers primarily are usually the recipients, but anyone who works for the Archdiocese, part-time, benefits eligible, or full-time, can get money to do continuing education. And it's delightful to see someone like yourself who benefited from that program.
Yeah, it was absolutely wonderful. I loved grad school. I learned so much from grad school.
Well, tell us a little bit more. You know, I'm sure your principal would feel really sad if you didn't give a special plug
sure.
for St. Leonard's School. And if they were smart enough to hire a fine teacher like you, they must be a great school. Tell us about what's going on at St. Leonard's.
St. Leonard's School. Well, Larry White is our principal. Sadly, he couldn't be here today, but we're thinking about him and over spring break. St. Leonard's School has 267 students. We are in the western suburb of Berwyn, right two blocks away from McNeil Hospital near the Brookfield Zoo. And it's a great school, it, you know, a very, very strong academically, a wonderful community. We just had six of our seventh graders go on to the state level of from the history fair. Last year we had a student advance to the national competition for the science fair. And we have an upcoming reading night going on at St. Leonard's School in May to kind of kick off our summer reading program,
mm-hmm.
introduce that for the first time. This is our initial kickoff. So,
say a little bit more about that. Excuse me.
About the family reading night.
Yeah.
The theme.
What's the goal?
The goal, well, we want to promote enjoyable summer reading. We don't want the students to feel they have to read certain books over the summer. We really want them to have fun with it. So for the family reading night, Mary Perad, the assistant principal, and I are planning, the theme is called Go Wild for Reading. So at our family reading night, we are going to have members of the community and teachers doing fun reading activities, plays, skits, songs, crafts, food, and everything to promote our theme, which is Go Wild for Reading. And then the teachers will create book lists of suggested reading for their students over the summertime that fit in with that adventure theme of reading. So we want the students to have fun with it, but also continue reading through
That's
the summer.
That's great. All right.
Yeah.
And if someone wanted to know more about St. Leonard's School, how could they find out?
Our website is www.stleonard.org. And our school's phone number is 708-749-3666.
Why don't you give that again?
708-749-3666.
Open house is coming up?
Open house is coming up April 29th, Wednesday night, from 6:30 to 7:30. It's a preschool and kindergarten open house, open to all.
Yeah. Now, you've been teaching. St. Leonard's is the only school where you've taught.
This is true.
You're a fine teacher. I'm sure you could have chosen to teach elsewhere. A public school.
Mm-hmm.
You would have made more money.
True.
Why are you still at St. Leonard's? Talk about Catholic education. Is there a difference?
Well, I grew up going to a public school. In fact, I went into a public school up until college. And from what I feel, I mean, I'm kind of seeing it. I was in a public school as a student. Now I'm a teacher. But I really feel there's just a sense of community. When you go to church with these people and then you bring those lessons from Sunday's homily into your classroom, everything kind of falls into place. And it's just a very values and morals based education.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what keeps me coming back. I feel like I'm a member of this family.
Well, I think those third graders at St. Leonard's and the school community there are very lucky to have Sarah Covington among them, Golden Apple Award recipient. Congratulations, Sarah.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful Easter season.
Happy Easter.
We're going to go to a short break, and then we're going to return and talk to representative of Pope John Paul II School in Chicago. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever, a great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. It's Catholic Schools Monday, and we are talking to several representatives of some of our fine Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago. You know, this past Holy Saturday, my wife and I had our annual Holy Saturday brunch with some dear old friends. One of them happens to be a Jesuit priest who's been very involved with Catholic education, and he was citing some statistics to me. He mentioned that Father Andrew Greeley had done a study back in the 70s and then did it again recently, finding that the number one factor that influences kids in Catholic schools is the parents, that unless the parents are really buying into their faith, really owning their faith and living it, the Catholic education doesn't really make a whole lot of a difference. But when the parents do own the faith, then the impact of Catholic education makes this exponential difference. So without the home foundation, not a lot of difference. With the home foundation, a huge difference between kids who go to Catholic schools and those who don't in terms of later life, really, again, owning their faith and living out the faith. So I'm just thrilled that fine people like yourselves are part of this effort. And the people I'm talking to and about are Cynthia Fogarty, who is the principal of Pope John Paul II School in Chicago, and Mr. Dan O'Brien, who's the marketing development director of Pope John Paul II School. In a partnership with the Chicago Bulls, I'm fascinated to hear more about that, Pope John Paul II School in Chicago recently held a grand opening of its Green Reading and Technology Corner. As part of the Read to Achieve program, they added a new component to the Reading and Learning Center, where they created an environmentally friendly learning space. Chicago Bulls, Catholic grade school, how did this happen?
Well, it happened. We are very fortunate to have Exelon as our patron, and one of the employees from Exelon sits on our school board, and so the Chicago Bulls, the Read to Achieve program is sponsored in part through CompEd, who is connected to Exelon. So through these connections, they contacted our development director, Dan, and we started talking, and a partnership came about. And part of the reason that we were selected for this program, too, was the involvement of our parent organization. Mm. We have a strong parent organization, and they were willing to help finance part of this renovation in our library.
Renovation of the library. So tell us more, what is a Green Reading and Technology Corner?
The Green Reading and Technology.
Do you wear green colored glasses or something?
It's all environmental environmentally friendly is the idea behind the Green Technology Center. And actually, it's a big movement in libraries throughout the country to go green. So we're the first school that we know of in the Archdiocese anyway to actually attempt this Go Green initiative. And so the books are from recycled. The books that the Bulls donated to our library are from recycled materials. The carpet is environmentally friendly. The paint, we completely painted, repainted the library, and that was all environmentally friendly. We put in, through the Bulls, we were able to add 2 computers to our library, environmentally friendly computers and plants. You get the idea.
Yeah. Okay, so I had completely wrong idea about this. I thought that it was a collection of books about how to live a green lifestyle. But you're talking about the actual physical space is very ecologically friendly.
Correct.
All right.
Correct, yes. And it's along with that green lifestyle, as you said, is this idea that the library should be a place that is pertinent to children's lives today.
Yeah.
So adding that technology piece was really critical. We now have overstuffed chairs in the library for the children to enjoy. We have
lamps. They don't fall asleep in them?
Yeah. Especially when the Bulls are there.
Yeah.
You're not going to find them asleep. No. No, they just – it's really interesting, the transformation of moving from this old 80s-styles library to this modern, fresh – child-friendly library, the dynamic feeling in there and their love. I mean, the books that that were chosen for the library, I mean, they just are eating them up. So yeah. That's exciting.
Well, Cynthia, I want to ask in a minute if any of the Bulls have come over to visit. But first, let me ask Dan. You are – I can't find it on here. There we go. The Marketing and Development Director. I was saying as you came into the studio, I can't imagine there are a whole lot of schools that have their own Marketing and Development Director. How did this position evolve at Pope John School?
We are
I get confused because my wife teaches at Pope John the 23rd School in Evanston. So
right.
This is Pope John Paul II School in Chicago. All right.
Cynthia had alluded to our relationship with Exelon, and as a patron school, they're very supportive of the school and of the Brighton Park, you know, Catholic education movement. So they were willing to help us find someone, which was me, to help build enrollments and find scholarship money and do a lot of other things that the school – that the principal historically has done. And it's just too much for one person to handle. So luckily Exelon was willing to step up with the help of Big Shoulders as well.
Yeah.
to come on board. So I came on board last summer to help them just boost enrollment. And in regards to the Technology Center, I think it's safe to say that we've had more traffic in the library since our April 3rd dedication than we've had – probably since the mid-80s, that Cindy was alluding to, because we're very excited.
Isn't that great? On a typical day, what does a development director do at a Catholic grade school?
Good question. It could vary anything. Sometimes I've found myself, you know, on the streets in the local business community passing out flyers about the school, on the phones with potential benefactors that might sponsor a student for the year financially, someone that might help us, you know, with ComEd and Exelon, with the Bulls, trying to make connections in the business community with the school has been really key. But really just to make the school as visible as possible in the Brighton Park community is really ultimately what my goal is.
Are things working?
So far, so good. We're still there. So that's good. We have just north of 200 students at our school, and we have since Cynthia talked about our parent involvement, which is you had alluded to it too, but it's just huge, and that's kind of what makes these schools go. So just getting parents involved and just being visible, that's the key.
You know, and anyone who's listening to this program is going to be that kind of a parent, you know, the kind of parent who really cares about Catholic education and who's going to do follow-up at home isn't going to expect that the school is going to magically impart this faith to their children and they can just sit passively back, you know, and not do anything. It's time to go to a break. We're going to come back in just a moment and continue our conversation with these fine folks from Pope John Paul II School. Stay with us. Do not go away.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
He is risen. He truly is risen. Alleluia. It's Easter Monday in the Archdiocese of Chicago and the rest of the world. And how lucky are we to believe in a Lord who became human, suffered and died for our sins, and rose that we might rise with him and live forever with our God in heaven. We are truly privileged to know the faith and to be able to share the faith and to have schools where that faith can be taught without any hindrances or encumbrances or any apologies. We're talking this morning on this Catholic Schools Monday with the principal, Cynthia Fogarty, of Pope John Paul II School in Chicago. How cool it is that we've already got a school named after Pope John Paul II. And Dan O'Brien, who's the Marketing Development Director. One thing that occurs to me is, as great as Catholic schools are, often they're not accessible to everybody because obviously you can't go to Catholic schools without paying tuition. I think you mentioned, Dan, Big Shoulders a little while ago. Are you a Big Shoulders school?
Yes, we are.
Tell us about that, and what does Big Shoulders make possible for you?
Big Shoulders actually makes possible our school. We would not be able to operate without Big Shoulders' involvement at Pope John Paul II.
Do they give you direct grants or do they subsidize tuition? Do they help individual parents? How does that work?
They both. They subsidize, they don't so much subsidize tuition, but they do provide scholarship money for parents who would otherwise not be able to afford a Catholic education.
So a parent comes to the school, maybe they talk to you, Cynthia, or maybe they come to you, Dan, as the development director, and they say, I'd love my child to come to school here, but I can't afford it. And you say what?
We say, let's talk. I mean, it's pretty simple. Obviously, we're not in a position to give full scholarships to every family that walks in the door because we want families to make a small investment, even if it's $100 a month, something that they feel. We can help with some type of difference. So our role is, if you can contribute something, let's have a conversation and see what we can do to make that possible.
And Big Shoulders is an archdiocesan fund. Is that correct?
It is.
And who contributes to this fund? Where does the money come from?
Generous folks like the people at Exelon and ComEd, individuals that are very...
So a lot of corporations contribute money to this?
Individuals, people that are advocates of Catholic education, and they support over 100 middle, elementary, middle, and secondary schools throughout the city, so they're very involved.
I think I remember seeing once in the Catholic New World a picture of Bob Hope being here in Chicago, having given like $1 million to the Big Shoulders Fund. So even great individuals like he was. Cynthia, tell us about more about the school and the parent involvement that you have there.
There is. Well, this is my first year at Pope John Paul II, and I can tell you it's truly been a privilege to work with the parent community, and the students there obviously are, you know, reflect their parents' generosity. But there is a parent group, there's a parent organization at Pope John Paul that is phenomenal compared to none in terms of supporting the school and what they want for their children at Pope John Paul. And these are parents who sometimes don't have the finances to give to the school, but they have the time and the energy to give from their hearts. So watching that take place, the way that they involve the children in all of the activities, it's never I shouldn't say never, but it's really a community for the children mm-hmm. at Pope John Paul.
Yeah. And before we were talking about the Bulls, have any of the Bulls players actually shown up at the school as part of this partnership that you have there?
Yeah, on Friday, April 3rd, we actually had a dedication of the new site, and we were fortunate to have former Bull Bob Love was there to speak to the kids, and
excellent.
Then current Bull Tyrus Thomas, who was there to kind of do the ribbon-cutting ceremony. And when you have a bunch of 11- and 12-year-olds with a Chicago professional athlete, it was very energetic, I'd say. So the kids are very excited to see the former Bulls. So we were excited. And the following week, just to put things in perspective, the NBA had their Green Week. So if there are any Bulls fans out there that saw the Bulls in their green uniforms,
oh yeah,
that's why, because it was the NBA Green Week.
Well, this is really remarkable that this kind of partnership. Is there the possibility, or is there anything in the works with developing those kind of partnerships with other organizations beyond the Chicago Bulls?
You know, once we had that relationship in place, I kind of went to a different Chicago sports websites, and you know, the Bears have a reading program that we're that ComEd is involved with. That we're gonna, it's more of an incentive program, but it's something now that we have this new center that we can get our kids a little more engaged in with reading and kind of the importance of that. So that's mm-hmm. something we're going to pursue, and part of the development job is just to see where those opportunities lie.
Absolutely. Now, Cynthia, you mentioned this is your first year here. Where were you prior to coming to Pope John?
Actually, I was in California. I was an administrator in California.
You were tired of that wonderful weather out
there?
Yeah,
it was just, it was too beautiful, yeah. I have to say. No, I it was a longtime dream of mine to be involved in Catholic education, and with the idea of, you know, looking toward this as something that we could do later in life towards our retirement years. And so really being here in Chicago is fulfilling part of that dream. And being part of Pope John Paul has been absolutely a thrill.
Oh, great. And what about you, Dan? What were you doing prior to starting at Pope John?
Well, we talked off the air that the Jesuits brainwashed me early. So I was high school, college, and graduate school at the Jesuits. And before Pope John Paul II, I was involved with the Cristo Rey schools. Which there are two here in Chicago, Cristo Rey Jesuit and Christ the King, and I also was a founding father of that version in Denver called the Rupe Jesuit. So I've been kind of a nomad, was in Denver for 6 years and now back in Chicago since fall of 2007.
So it sounds like the Jesuits done good by you.
They'd have.
All right. It's stuck.
It's stuck. It's there.
God bless you. Well, we need to bring this conversation to a close, but before we do, tell us if anyone wants to get a hold of Pope John School, what do they do?
They call our school, 523-6161.
Do it again?
773-523-6161.
Do you have a website?
We do.
pjpiischool.com, and we'd love to...
One more time.
pjpiischool.com, and if you're in the neighborhood at I-55 in Kedzie, come see us.
Open house or anything coming up?
Our doors are open.
All right. Well, we need to go to a break. We'll come back and have a final segment talking about the Week of the Young Child. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back. Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Face.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Catholic Schools Today on this Easter Monday. Are you rejoicing out there? Are we rejoicing in here?
Yes, we are.
We are, certainly are.
Is everybody glad to know the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
And to know that he truly is risen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. There we go. Catholic Schools Week. We got to act like it. Here we are. All right. We are now going to talk about the Week of the Young Child, which is April 19th to the 25th. It's an annual celebration sponsored by the National Association for the Education of Young Children, NAEYC. That's a heck of an acronym. 100% of Catholic elementary schools in the Archdiocese have kindergarten programs, and 93% have preschools. Two stellar early childhood educators are here to talk about their experiences. More information about early childhood education can be found at schools.archchicago.org. That's schools.archchicago.org. Our guests for this segment are Yakila Grant, preschool teacher, St. Angela School, Linda Schaefer, preschool teacher, St. Anne School, and Julie Ramsky from our Catholic Schools office. Welcome, one and all.
Thank you.
Okay, the Week of the Young Child. What's this all about?
The Week of the Young Child actually originated in Chicago in 1969, signed into proclamation by then Mayor Richard J. Daley, designating a week in May as the very first Week of the Young Child, and then 2 years later, NACI adopted it and brought it to national attention. And the whole purpose of the Week of the Young Child is to focus attention on the early childhood programs and the services they provide to young children and their families, and also all of those educators that help provide that service as well.
Early childhood, what ages are we talking about?
In our school system, we're talking about preschool and kindergarten.
And preschool starts at what age?
Preschool starts with children who are 3 years of age by September 1st.
3 years of age. Well, I was with my three-year-old niece last night. I can't picture being in front of a whole classroom full of those little children.
Well, these are the experts.
These are the experts today.
Yes.
All right, Yakila, tell us about your experience. What age do you teach?
I teach a four-year-old pre-K at St. Angela School, and we do have a three-year-old program with 16 students, but I work with the four-year-olds.
My wife says there's a huge difference between three and four.
Quite a big difference.
What age do you teach, Linda?
Three, fours, and fives.
Three, fours, and fives. How important is preschool education for our children? Does it make a difference?
It makes a huge difference. these children are right now, when they're 3, 4, they're opening up to the whole world, and we want to give them experiences that will see them through their whole entire life. We're helping build the basis for how they perceive the world around them.
And like, how does a 4-year-old see things differently than a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old from a 3-year-old?
Well, they see them for the first time. They're really moving out of the toddler stage. You talk about things like the colors of leaves, and they look at the leaves. It's like they're seeing them. Oh, they are different colors when we do fall. They really do change. They see how – we help them see how life is connected.
Yeah. Yatila, how long have you been teaching preschool?
I have been teaching preschool for 8 years.
8 years. All those years at the same school?
Yes, at St. Angela.
At St. Angela. And what got you into preschool education?
I absolutely love children. I love the babies. And I just couldn't see I believe everyone has a gift and a calling, and my calling is young children, the smaller ones. And it's one of those things where either you do or you don't. And I'm one.
And you do.
I love children, and I love to see them light up when they get it, when they actually do recognize that they're different colors and leaves, and just to expose them to life, they actually show it, and you can see it in their eyes, and I love that.
Yeah. Well, I can see it in your eyes that you love them. That's the cool thing. Linda, how long have you been at this?
10 years.
10 years?
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing before that?
I was actually in the health information technology, and part of what I did was run a long-term care consulting division. So we looked at the medical records in long-term care facilities. So the very opposite end.
Yeah. Yeah. So
cradle to grave.
Yes. Cradle to grave. I'm a full-service provider.
What brought you to the preschool classroom?
Well, it was a personal crisis, and I sat down to rethink about what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and I decided I'd seen one end, and I really wanted to be at the end where, you begin to see how wonderful everything is.
Yeah. I hear in both of your comments, Yaquila and Linda, you said it very overtly, Yaquila, vocation, this sense of call that God called you. This is what you were made to do. You either have it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's typical of people who do this kind of work, especially within the Catholic schools?
I think of the ones who are very good at it.
Ah.
And I think those who don't have that calling will leave because they can't function well.
Yeah. Julie, these statistics are kind of staggering, that 100% of our schools have kindergarten programs, 93% have preschools. Why are the numbers so high?
I believe that we provide a very unique service for young children and families because our preschools and our kindergartens, but our preschools, which is different than most preschool early childhood programs, our preschools are an integral part of our elementary schools. So there's that wonderful environment that we put children in starting at age 3 or age 4 that and continues for the next 9-10 years of their education in our elementary schools. So it is also, in all honesty, a good way to recruit children and families into a school when you can provide a wonderful early childhood program, and we do that so well in our schools.
Thanks, Julie. All right, we need to move to a break. After a few announcements, we'll return and continue our conversation with these inspired and inspiring teachers. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Catholic Schools Today program on this Easter Monday. As we bask in the glory of the resurrection, we also bask in the good news of Catholic education within this great archdiocese. We're talking with Julie Ramsky, who's from our Catholic Schools office, and with two fine young childhood educators, Yakala. No, Yaquila. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Yaquila. I've been saying it wrong. I feel terrible. Our guest, Yaquila Grant. Did I do it wrong again? Everybody's laughing. It's Yaquila. That's what you told me.
That's fine. That's it.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to actually, she's the eponymous. I don't know what to do. The benefactor of a song. There's going to be a song named after her, done by a jazz saxophonist. Maybe by the time that song comes out, I'll get the name right. Yaquila. That is a great name.
Send him a CD.
Somebody with a name like Graziano shouldn't mispronounce anybody else's name. However, I've gone through my whole life having my name mispronounced. Even my mother-in-law, after 35 years of marriage, instead of calling me Graz, calls me Grass. Grass. Let's go mow the grass.
There may be another reason for that.
Maybe. Even the cardinal calls me Grass. We have to tell him when we do the TV show, we got to say, it's Gratz rhymes with Bratz, but he forgets. Anyway.
Okay, back to early childhood.
Early childhood. Linda Schaefer.
Yes.
Of St. Angela. No, you are of St. Anne's School.
Yes.
And Yaquila Grant of St. Angela's School are our two early childhood educators here. I love little kids, too, but I'm sure it takes a very special kind of personality to spend the entire day with a whole classroom of little children. What's the size of a typical preschool classroom? Is it 20, 30? Is it 10, 15?
Mine is 20 students.
20?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of kids.
With an aide, with an assistant.
With an aide. And, in fact, we're starting a second preschool because we had enough on the waiting list that
excellent.
We decided to have two preschool classrooms.
Yeah. So what if someone was thinking about being an early childhood educator and they came to you and said, do you think I'm cut out for this, what would you be looking for in them to determine whether they really could do the task?
I don't know if I could – that's something that they would have to really decide on their own. Takes lots of flexibility, the ability to laugh – the ability to love and to receive love, because those are just my biggest four components.
Yeah.
If you have all of those, then education and the whole day runs so smoothly, and the kids just, they do a wonderful job with you.
I love that, the ability to love and receive love, because little children just spontaneously give you love, don't they?
Yes, they do.
They can't help it.
No, they're constantly telling you they love you. And you have to be real when you return their love to them.
Yeah. So how did you know that you had the ability to do this, given the work you did prior to this, Linda?
Well, I had two small sons of my own, and I did teach Sunday school, a three-year-old class. And the more I taught, the more I realized this is really where I feel good. I feel comfortable. I'm doing something for others, and the feeling was there.
Yeah. You know, one of the wonderful features of this program is that we get to highlight schools from different parts of the Archdiocese. So let's talk a little bit about your individual schools. Tell us a little bit about St. Angela.
St. Angela is located on the west side of Chicago. We have pre-K 3 through 8th grade, all full day. We have before and after care, which the parents love and do take advantage of because of, you know, working parents. We are currently, we're partnering with Dominican University. Hmm. We have students who come in and do tutoring with our older children. Later this month, we received a new science lab from Rush University Medical Center, and we'll be doing our ribbon cutting there. And next week, when we return from school, we will be celebrating the Week of the Young Child.
Excellent. Then, Linda, tell us about your school, St. Anne's.
Well, St. Anne's School is located in the Pilsen community, and we really try and embrace that culture. We're also a Notre Dame Magnificat school, and so we do get support from Notre Dame.
Notre Dame University.
Mm-hmm. And we are, both Yakala and I are in a program with University of Illinois at Chicago, where we're in a group on reading first. So we're learning more and more about the vocabulary and the phonemic awareness needs of young children.
That's exciting. If you were a parent just starting out again, and you know, obviously tuition's a lot higher now than it was probably when, mm-hmm. when your kids were little, would you make the choice of Catholic education for your kids?
Yes, I would, because what I have seen in the Catholic schools is this deep sense of community, a commitment to one another, and I think that's a need people have, to be committed.
All right, we got about half a minute. Let's give out some phone numbers. If someone wants to contact St. Anne's School, do we have a number? We don't.
St. Angela School, 773-626-2655.
One more time.
773-626-2655, where Sister Mary Finnegan is the principal.
Sister Mary Finnegan, one of the good sisters. All right. And we're looking up. All right, there it is. St. Anne's School.
312-829-4153. I never call the number.
One more time.
312-829-4153.
All right. And with that, we end this segment. We want to thank Linda Schaefer from St. Anne's School, Yaka LeGrant from St. Angela School, and Julie Ramsky from our Catholic Schools office. We also want to thank our producers, Ryan Blackburn and Yasmin Quiros, and our tech guy, Brian the Hitman Brock, who is solid as a rock. And I'm Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for being with us. God bless you, and let's continue to rejoice in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.